Oh, goodness. What a blessing it is to be back here. I'm going to go this way. I could just step up there, but, you know, I'll go the long way. All right. Well, yeah, my name is James Klaus. I am a pastor in Alaska now. Let me first just say this. It is good, so good to be back at Flint City Church. For many of you, I recognize faces, and for many of you, I see a lot of new faces in here, and that's such a blessing to see that Flint City is so healthy and doing so many great things here in our community. I served as an elder here, like Pastor John had said, for a while. My family and I came here at a very important part of our lives. We were going through a lot at the time, and a lot of struggle in our lives, a lot of struggle in our family, a lot of struggle in our faith, and we had come here to Flint City to heal, and that's exactly what happened, and it was an amazing, amazing few years that we were here with you at Flint City Church. Now, a lot has changed in here since I've been in here last. It's very, very different, and oh, wow, do I love it, and I know a lot of hard work went into it. Normally, I am watching one of the two services, but it's 6 o'clock there right now in Alaska. It's 6 a.m., so there's a four-hour difference between here and there. So, first, I want to just give you a bit of an update in what's been going on in our lives. So we moved in December to Alaska, in December, to Alaska. Whew, wow, it was cold. We got, it's not horribly different from, say, the UP, right? The UP, we get a lot of snow, it gets really cold, but there was a stretch there. There was a stretch of winter where it was a full week and a half in the negative 30s. It was so cold that our car would not start for 3 days. And it was just freezing, you know. In that type of temperature, you just don't walk outside, right? You don't take any deep breaths. But it's cold. We do have some good moose friends. The moose like to come visit us a lot. If you're friends with us on Facebook, you saw some pictures where the moose had come almost right up to our front door. Like right there. Just, hello, we're here for dinner. What you got? Right? There's so much hiking and so many things to do, so much stuff to see. A couple of things about Alaska, if you don't know these things about Alaska, is if you cut Alaska in half, Texas would be the third largest state. That's how big Alaska is. Because normally, you know, you see it in a little square on the bottom of a map. Yeah, that's not what it looks like. All right? Alaska has more coastline than the east and west coasts of the United States. It's crazy. It's huge. And there's so much to see, so much to explore. But most importantly, we went to go, I'm the pastor of adult discipleship at Creekside Church in Alaska, in Wasilla, Alaska. It's a town that's about 10,000 people, so it's pretty large for Alaska. It's the fastest growing city right now in Alaska. And I serve there as the pastor of adult discipleship. So I oversee all the ministries that pretty much have to do with adult ministries. Small groups, membership, baptism, men's ministry, women's ministry, missions, and all of that good stuff. I oversee all that. And so it's been very busy. And so we were sent there by the Lord to really, first off, build community groups, to build our missional communities is what we're calling them. And it has been an amazing, amazing task so far. And hoping to actually launch a few of our missional communities at a church up there in the fall. So it's been great. It's been really, really good. So thank you. Thank you for sending our family in such a healthy manner. It was very sad to leave Flint City Church, and very sad to leave our family and our friends here, but it has been such an amazing blessing to us and to our family and to our ministry there. And I thank you, Flint City, for the time that we needed you. We needed this church, and we needed the impact that you had on our lives. So thank you. Thank you for that. Well, today we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 10 through 17. And so when I was talking to Ernesto, he says, yeah, we're starting a new series on 1 Corinthians, and you have 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 10 through 17 on church division. Thanks, Ernesto. division in the church. All right, let's go. You guys ready? So division in the church, what does that look like? Well, Paul gives us a pretty good picture here of what division in the church looks like. And he gives a very key picture into what the division in the church of Corinth was looking like at the time. So, I am on my sermon notes and not my sermon. I'm reading this. I'm like, that doesn't look right. All right. So division, no, not of the math kind. We don't want to talk about that today, right? Any math people in here? No, we're not talking about the math kind. We're talking about division. It can be found in many, many circumstances in our lives. We see division in jobs. We see division amongst coworkers. We see division amongst friends. We see division amongst relationships. We see division in marriages, division within families. But normally, the last place you would expect to see a division is in the church. And yet, it happens so frequently. Now, like Ernesto and like John, I am a big movie nerd. And so I have a couple movie references. When I think of division, one of the first things that popped in my head, I go back to one of my old favorite movies, 12 Angry Men. Anybody ever seen that movie, 12 Angry Men? Now I'm talking about the original with, Henry Fonda. Henry Fonda's character, juror number eight, is the lone character in a group of jury, in a group of 12 men of a jury. And they finish the case, and they're sitting in the jury room, and everybody's like, let's get this over with. I have a ball game to get to. Let's get this over with. I don't want to be in here. And juror number eight, Henry Fonda's character, says, wait a second. We owe it to this man to talk about this for a little bit. We owe it to this person to discuss this case. And everybody got so mad at him, the whole jury, and got so angry with him, and it was creating a division amongst the jurors. And as Henry Fonda's character started talking, he says, but let's talk about this. Let's bring this part of the case up. And he would talk about it. And another juror was like, wait a second, yeah, I get that. I understand that. Okay, I'm on your side now. And more and more people go, I'm on your side. But the entire time, you got a couple of the characters, a couple of the jurors, they're saying, no, you're wrong. This person is guilty. And you see the whole movie, the division amongst the 12 jurors. And you see the pain that it causes. You see the strife that it causes in their lives, the anxiety, just the hurt. The early church of Corinth seems to be experiencing a large drama and division. And people start picking sides. Paul begins this address with, I appeal to you, the church of Corinth. I exhort you, in some translations, the church of Corinth. But it's very important to understand who he is exhorting through and whose name is he appealing through. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to bring it up here in the Bible so I don't miss-say it. He says here, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not saying, hey, I am Paul, I am mighty, guys, listen to me. No, he is saying, I exhort you, brothers and sisters. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what we have to say. Listen to what your Lord has to say with the division that you are experiencing in your church, the drama that you are experiencing. Jesus has something to say about this. Through the power of God, grace here has been revealed. Grace. God is not giving up on this church, but would rather see it reconciled. Through the power of Jesus Christ, through his words, he is saying, I could totally give up on this church. Corinth, you are just a My wife and I were driving one time. We were driving down the road, and I don't even remember where we were, but there was a church sign that says, Corinth Baptist Church. I was like, have you all read your Bible? Like, like, this is not one of the churches that we want to model our church after. But this is what God was saying is, I'm not ready to give up on you. I'm not ready to just say, you're done. I'm not ready to put that light out. But I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he wants to see the church reconciled. Because anytime we have a body of believers come together and worship Jesus Christ, anytime that we come together and worship God our Father, it is a good thing. It is a good thing that we do here when we come together and we fellowship together. We shake each other's hands, we smile, we tell stories. It's a good thing. And God didn't want to just see that go by and say, I'm done with you, just like that. But I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's being made, this appeal, it's this exhortation is being made to lead the church to a healthier place. One of my spiritual gifts in my life is exhortation. If you don't know what your spiritual gift, I encourage you to find out what your spiritual gift is. But I challenge you, when you know what your spiritual gift is through the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will find ways for you to use it. But exhortation is using your words to be able to lift other people up. And this is what Paul was doing here. He is exhorting to the church to be able to lead this church to a healthier place in its life. It's being made to communicate a message through the Lord. This is not a request made by the Lord. This is not a request made by Paul, but a word to make change right away, saying something needs to be done. Now, before we get to our points and before I get to what the main part of this message is, there's a few things I want to bring up about this passage. One of them is it's important to see the importance of Chloe in this passage. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling amongst you, my brothers. How countercultural is that to this time? It's amazing to see that Paul is saying, hey, Chloe is an important aspect to the church and to what's going on here. Chloe has had a strong impact on the church of Corinth, so much so that the people of Corinth should recognize her name. So she is of somewhat importance. This is very countercultural for the time. For Jesus to meet with women and to talk to women was very countercultural because women were viewed at a lower caste. And even the time of the apostles and the apostles' teaching, women were viewed at a lower level. But Jesus and the apostles, throughout the entire New Testament, we see numerous cases of women leaders within the church. And even here within the Flint City Church, we have women leaders as well. Very countercultural to the time, and very important to notice in this passage. So, this shows that Paul is placing some authority in the words of Chloe. Then Paul knows that some people are choosing sides. They're breaking into camps, is what's happening. They're like breaking into the Paul camp. Well, I belong to Paul. Paul, formerly Saul, is an apostle of Jesus Christ, a Roman citizen. Well, I belong to Apollos. Apollos being an influential leader, teacher within the early church. Well, I belong to Cephas. Cephas, also named Peter, recognized his name as one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, an early leader amongst the church. And here's the best one. Oh, well, I belong to Christ. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Of course, being Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Well, everybody's breaking into camps. There's a division amongst the church of Corinth. But then Paul asks a very simple yet profound question. He says, well, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? That's a good point. That's a good question. It's very profound, very simple, but very profound for this church. How can the church be dividing the teaching of Christ amongst people? Can his truth be so easily distorted that it can be divided amongst mere men? That's the question to ask. Because that's what they're doing. They're dividing what Jesus Christ said and the words of God to the apostles' teaching and distorting it, distorting the truth. We then see some humanity in Paul and not remembering who he is baptized. When it says this, I thank God that I baptized none of you except for Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. Verse 16, well, I did baptize also the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. John was laughing at that passage as we were in the back because this shows just the humanity of the men who wrote the words on these pages. These were all God-inspired words, right? That's what we believe as the church, that each and every single word in this Bible was God-inspired. But we love to see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all Gospels of Jesus Christ, all showing Jesus Christ's life, are written very differently because they were different men. One was a doctor. A couple were fishermen. One was a tax collector. So of course they're going to have different words that they use. Of course they're going to have different styles. And here Paul's like, yeah, I don't really remember who I baptized. Because he didn't. He didn't remember who he baptized. He's a man. I can't remember everybody that I baptized. And it's just showing his humanity here on these pages. So just kind of a little funny thing to notice there. Well, Paul ends this part of the exhortation by making sure that everybody is aware that it is not his words that should turn them back to Jesus, but rather the power of the cross. The power of the cross is what should be leading this division to reconcile. It's not through the words that I am saying. It's not through what I am giving to you, but rather the power of what Jesus Christ has done for each and every single one of us. There should be no division amongst you because you are distorting his words and making them into your own. The power of the cross is going to save you, not anything I am going to say. So, that's the story. That's what's happening. What can we apply today? What can we learn from this? Number one is don't rely on one person only. Don't put one person on a pedestal. We are people. Ricky leads music every week. Man, he is such an amazing musician and such a good heart. But he's a mere man. Ernesto, one of the purest men I know, has been a dear friend of mine for a very long time. We got to meet with him on Monday and his family and have a dinner with him before they left. And I admire him and I appreciate his friendship in my life. There's only a group, I can count on one hand the amount of men I rely on in my life spiritually. And he is one of them. Pastor John, great pastor, great man, one of the hardest working people I know. But we are mere men and women. We cannot be placed on a pedestal because guess what? We sin. The leaders amongst Flint City Church are sinners. What? Yeah, we're sinners. We struggle with the same temptations that you do. We struggle with the same thoughts that you do. I wanna flick my middle finger out to the guy that cuts me off too, but I don't. I wanna, but I don't. But when people are placed on a pedestal, when people are placed on a tower, that tower and that pedestal knocks over real quickly when we sin, when we fall. Humans are too fickle to place all of our faith in. Power does corrupt. We see it time and time again. My wife and I have been talking about this. We really think that there is, within the church right now, a reconciliation happening. We see numerous cases of people in positions of authority and positions of power coming down and falling because people are fickle. They've been placed on that pedestal. They've been placed on that tower. We see all the time that one person in the position of an ultimate authority will fall. Because humans are still human. Don't rely on one person amongst the church. Know that the Holy Spirit gives out numerous gifts to numerous parts of the church. This is why Pastor John brings up that we need volunteers at Flint City Church. Here within Flint City Church, we are all given different spiritual gifts. We're all given different gifts through the Holy Spirit. I don't like working with children like Miss Sarah does. They annoy me and they're snotty. Like this little baby up here, I love to hold that little baby. I love babies. But when it gets to about 2 years old, I'm done. Like 2 to 13, that's, yeah, nope. that point, I'm just like, you're a good kid. Go back to your parents, right? I don't have that gift to work with children, but you do. I don't have the gift of just stopping and praying with people sometimes. I love when somebody will just come up to me and say, let me pray with you. I can see something's on your heart, something's on your mind. Let's pray right here, right now. I wish I had that gift. Some of you within this room do. If you're watching online right now, some of you have that gift where you can just notice that something's wrong with somebody and I just need to pray with you. Let's read some passages on that. 1 Corinthians 12 is where we're going to go first, 1 through 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7 and verse 12. Says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one says Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Holy Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each, this is to you, church. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. When we place everything on one person and make sure that that one person is controlling it all, when sin happens, that tower falls very quickly and the church becomes divided. But when we spread out and say, Miss Sarah is great with children, and John was good with prayer, and this and that person and that person and that person, they're all and spreading that all out according to the gifts given to you by the Holy Spirit, that is a healthy church. You have different leaders handling different things. That is a healthy church. Now we have Pastor Ernesto and Pastor John covering things and making sure that the leadership happens here, because that is important. Leadership is important. That is their spiritual gift, to lead and to preach and to teach. But church, it says here, for just as the body is one and has many members, you are the body, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. The strength lies in all of us, because you are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and we're supposed to work together. And when we don't work together, that's what causes the division. That's what causes us to pick camps and to choose camps. Romans chapter 12, we're going to read verses 3 through 8, says this. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts on mercy with cheerfulness. So while the church of Corinth was choosing sides, they failed to recognize that all the people of their church was important. Each of the people that were mentioned in the different camps had different spiritual gifts and had different strengths. Paul was important. Cephas was important. Apollos was important. And of course, Jesus Christ, Messiah, was important. All of them were important. But they failed to recognize that you can have more than one important person. People were starting to create camps and sides and dividing, not recognizing the gifts of the Holy Spirit amongst all within the church. Here at Flint City, you have Ernesto, you have John, you have Pastor Ernesto, Pastor John, but there are so many more people within this church that lead and guide and teach. There are people who hold these two men accountable within our church. You also have many deacons, many servants amongst the church. Recognize those people. Recognize that authority there. Recognize those gifts that have been placed in those people's lives. Don't rely on just the one person. Instead of breaking into groups, recognize, they should have recognized the importance of all of the teachings. Number two, don't get caught up in the drama. Oh, I just struck some chords on that one. Don't get caught up in drama, the good old water cooler drama. Proverbs 20, verse 19. Let's start there. We're going to read a few passages regarding drama. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says this. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. I heard some chuckles in that one because you know exactly who I'm talking about, right? Do not associate with the babblers, right? Do not be a part of the drama. Do not be a part of the gossip, right? That's what was happening in the church of Corinth. Be like, hey, did you hear about Cephas and what he did? Right? That's what was happening. That's what was going on. Don't be caught up with the simple babblers. Let's go over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 30. Ooh, this is like Bible drills up here. All right. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, of evil, of covetousness, of malice, and they are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. I'm going to keep going, John, to just the next couple of verses. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Do you see in that list of just horrible things was slanderers and gossips? Because that's what's going to cause division amongst the church. To slander, to gossip, to talk badly about other people. And let's go over to 2 Corinthians 12:20. 2 Corinthians 12:20 says this. For I fear that perhaps when I come I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, that there may be jealousy, that there may be anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. That was at the end of his second letter to the church of Corinth. That he's still saying, hey, I've sent you one letter on this already. I've told you what you're doing wrong. I appealed to you, I exhorted to you through the Lord Jesus Christ's words. And yet you're still not listening. And if I come to you, I'm going to find all of these things still. The slander, the envy, the gossip, the jealousy, the anger. With people does come drama. It's an unfortunate part of who we are. Right? Look at the church. This church broke into teams. And then you have the one Jesus juke right in there. Let's talk about that Jesus juke for a moment. It's what I call what they did. Well, I belong to Christ. It's like me asking, Ricky, what's your favorite book? And then you respond, the Bible. Well, of course we love the Bible. Right? Jesus juke. Right? You like that, don't you? You're going to use it. It's a Jesus juke. That's what the church was doing. They're saying, well, I follow Christ. You guys can keep following Apollos and Cephas and all these other guys, but I just follow Christ. Wait a second. If we think that these apostles' teachings are given through the Holy Spirit, if we believe that what God is giving to Apollos and what God is giving to Cephas and what God is giving to Paul, we should follow their teachings as well. Right? They are the given words of God, inspired by God himself. You cannot say that, oh, I just follow Christ. Yeah, of course we follow Christ. But we are listening to also God speak through man here. Don't Jesus juke me. Slanders, gossips, and busybodies can cause much division within any organization, including the church. Drama has brought down kingdoms. One of my favorite parts of history, I love reading about ancient Egypt. I don't know why, it just always fascinates me. I don't believe the pyramids were built by aliens, but it just fascinates me. One of my favorite parts of ancient Egypt history is Cleopatra. I've read this whole story, this book was about that big, and it's a fictional telling of Cleopatra's life. And we see how drama in her life brought down a kingdom. The drama amongst Cleopatra's life because she fell in love with both Caesar Augustus and one of his cohorts. The drama brought down the Egyptian kingdom. Drama can bring down kingdoms, can bring down churches, can bring down families, can bring down any aspect of our lives. Say you have a problem with somebody. How do you handle it then? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about drama and how you handle it with a fellow brother or sister in Christ. In Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18 verses 15 and 16. Says this. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Between you and him alone, If he listens to you, you have gained a brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or tax collector. So what is being said here by Jesus Christ himself in the red letters? He's saying that if you have conflict with another brother or sister in Christ, don't let it become drama. Don't let it become strife or division among the church. Don't let people choose sides, because that's what's going to happen. If John and I, when I was still here, were to get into a big fight, and we started telling everybody amongst the church, right? John would win, by the way. If we started telling everybody amongst the church, hey, John did this, John did that, John did this, what that's going to do is start choosing sides. You're going to be like, well, I don't think John would do something like that, so I'm going to go follow John. Oh, John did that? Oh, I'm on your side, James. It's going to cause division. It's going to cause strife. It's going to cause drama. That's what was happening to the church of Corinth. But rather what Jesus is saying is, if I have a problem with my brother or sister in Christ, go to that person and talk to them. And if you're able to reconcile, you gain a brother and sister in Christ. Somebody you can cohort with, somebody you can talk with. If they don't listen, grab a couple more brothers or sisters with you and go and talk to that person so that you have witnesses saying he's tried to fix it. He has tried to make a brother or sister in Christ. And if that still doesn't work, that's when you bring it before the church as a whole, as a body, and to say, we need to solve this issue. Because this is too important. The Lord's work and what's happening here at Flint City Church is too important to let it fall away, to let the division happen. Too many times we have seen brothers and sisters in Christ and in churches in conflict because they let bitterness and division into their lives. We cannot let drama and division happen amongst the church. Number three, there is power in the cross of Jesus. There is power in the cross. There is power in the cross to get through drama. There is power in the cross to get through division. There is power in the cross to get through pain in a relationship. Paul makes an important point in stating that it's not his words that provide healing, but instead what Jesus Christ has already done. Christ became sin for each and every single one of us. He took this all on himself. This anger, this envy, this guile that we have in our lives, Christ has taken care of already. We just have to give it to him and say, Christ, help me with this. Jesus, Messiah, you are stronger than I am. You are strong. You can take this over and fix this. Paul's saying it's not anything that I am saying. It's not anything that I am doing, but rather the power of what Jesus Christ has already done for each and every single one of us. Christ became sin for us. He took this all on. Know that if there is bitterness in your heart, if there is unforgiveness, if there is envy, if there is slander within your heart, that it can be forgiven. But not by any man. Yeah, the person that you have strife with, they can forgive you of what you've said or done. But know that Christ is going to heal it. The healing process is only done through him. Know that there is salvation in his name. Not in Ernesto's name. Not in John's name. Not in any stinking TV evangelist. But in Christ. So if you are here today, you have that envy in your heart, you have that bitterness in your heart, you have that pain in your heart that you're holding on to, give it to Jesus Christ. If you're already starting to, in your head right now, if you're in your head and you say, Ernesto's the man and he's up on the pedestal, break that pedestal down and recognize that there are so many people within this church, Flint City, that love and adore the power of what Jesus is doing here. Release any bitterness, any envy, any slander today, right now. Let's pray over that. Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize the power and authority and the sovereignty of who you are. Lord, we recognize that you can heal. Lord, we recognize the power of your words, the power of your cross. So Lord, we take here the words of Paul, the exhortation that was given through you to him to help us in our lives, Lord, to recognize that there's so much within the church, Lord. There's so many leaders within the church. There's so much power through the Holy Spirit and single people here within the church and families within the church, Lord. Help us to see that. Help us to recognize that. Help those people that have not stepped up yet, Lord, to be a part of the body, to become that, to be a part of the body of Christ. Lord, if there's anybody here that is holding on to envy, that is holding on to slander, that is holding on to bitterness in their hearts, Lord, help them to forgive, to go to that person, Lord, that they're holding that against, to talk to them, Lord, to get through this pain, to get through that suffering together. Lord, if there's anybody here that has not recognized the salvation through your name, Lord, I pray that they do that today, that they come talk to myself, that they come talk to Pastor John, or even amongst the body of Flint City Church here, if they talk to somebody, to do that today, to recognize the power of your cross, the salvation that is offered through what you have already done for us. Lord, I thank you for your power. I thank you for your control. I thank you for your sovereignty, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.